So for her New Year's resolution this past year, my mom decided she was going to eat less sugar. No sugar after dinner. But she didn't want everyone else to suffer. Sweet tooths are hereditary in the Craig family. So she went to the store and bought a big box of ice cream sandwiches for me and my dad. A few nights later, I caught my mom after dinner with an ice cream sandwich in hand. I said, "Mom, I thought you weren't gonna eat those." She said, "Well, I bought them, didn't I?" Temptation is tricky, and one of its favorite things to do is wear disguises. I remember one time I went to an AA meeting to support my friend in recovery, and what this one person said really stuck with me. Temptation is hardest when it comes in innocent disguises. In this case, temptation wore the innocent disguise of buying ice cream for others, when really it was working through my mom so it could strike in her next moment of weakness. In the first reading today, the serpent disguises itself as a sort of friendly and knowledgeable tour guide. It says, "Hey, Adam and Eve, you're new here. Let me tell you more about these apple trees." Adam and Eve, in their innocence, decide to trust the snake. They don't realize who the snake is, and they believe the snake when it says the apple will give them wisdom. Their desire wasn't evil. They ate the apple because they wanted more wisdom. Human desire isn't evil either. No one desires to have a miserable life. But what temptation does is it tricks us into taking the wrong vehicle to get to our desired destination. So how can we go towards a life of peace and happiness when temptation is constantly trying to trick us to go in the other direction? About 5 years ago, this was really the greatest question for me. I had a great desire to surrender my life to God, but temptation kept throwing me off my path, and I felt pretty powerless in overcoming it. I was hiking in South Dakota at Custer State Park, nearing the top when I crossed paths with this older gentleman. Like, older to the point, I was wondering how he got up there. So I asked him, "How do you do it? How do you keep hiking like this at your age?" And he said, "I just give it all to God every day. I just turn it all over to God." And I said, "Wow, that sounds really good, yeah. But what about when you keep getting tempted to go in a different direction?" And he said, "It's simple. When temptation comes knocking, don't let it in. I just say, this is God's house." In the gospel today, we learn when the tempter comes to the door. In the recovery community, there is an acronym called HALT, which stands for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. If these four physical and emotional conditions are not taken care of, an individual is vulnerable for relapse. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Jesus must have been feeling super hangry. You know, like when you're so hungry, you start to get angry? Now imagine being hangry all alone in the middle of the desert for 40 days. Wouldn't you want to turn some stone into bread? Jesus is vulnerable, and that is when the tempter comes, when we are vulnerable. When I was in Peru in the Peace Corps, I lived in a town that had a pretty extreme machismo culture. Machismo culture is similar to what we call toxic masculinity. Men show masculinity through aggressiveness and conquest of women. And homophobia is used as a tool to reinforce the behavior. As the only gringo in a town of 12,000, you can bet my masculinity was put to the test right away. I worked in the local government building, and when I came in, the security guard at the front desk would always ask me, "How many?" Then he'd point to his chest, "Me, 3. Point to his buddy next to him, 5. "What about you?" They were talking about how many women they had. I'd always answer, "Uno." And they'd always challenge me, "Why, what's wrong? You're a young, handsome guy, why don't you have more women?" I'd say, "Because I have a girlfriend." And they'd say, so? Is she even real? Drinking a lot was another way to show your masculinity. And I remember one time I was with my host family and we were having a few drinks. I told my uncle I had had enough to drink, and he promptly called me a few colorful words that amount to, you're not a real man. After being immersed in the culture day after day, I started to get worn down. And that is when temptation entered. Started to question myself. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you more of a man? My sense of identity of what it meant to be a man was in conflict with theirs, and I faced a choice. Stay true to myself or try to fit in. I felt deep in my core that staying true to myself was one of the most important things I could do. To stay strong in my identity and show them a different definition of what it means to be a man. But it was hard, and I didn't know how hard it would get. I felt sometimes like I didn't have the strength to hold myself together, and I was wondering when I would fall apart. The only thing I could do was ask for God's help, to have faith that God made me the way I am for a reason, brought me there for a reason, and although that reason was beyond me, God would work it out. And I know my strength failed me. There was times where I knew I was out of gas and I wasn't going because of my own will. But somehow I got through, and I really feel like it was by the grace of God. In today's gospel, when Jesus crosses paths with the tempter, I imagine the tempter to be disguised as a nomad. In humble clothing, maybe a basic robe with a simple leather belt, and to have an air of wisdom, like an elder who is wise for many years in the desert. The tempter challenges Jesus to prove he is the Son of God, and says in a matter-of-fact way, well, surely you could turn this stone into bread. Everyone who says they're a child of God could do that. But Jesus resists and says that the Bible says one does not live on bread alone, but the bread of life. So the tempter turns to a different tactic and goes to the scriptures. If you are really the Son of God, the scriptures say, if you were to jump off a cliff, God's angels would catch you before you hit the ground. The tempter knows Jesus has a desire to use his powers. Who wouldn't want to jump off a cliff and get caught by angels? That's like the ultimate crowd surf. But Jesus knows he wasn't given these powers to prove he was God's son. He was given them to show God's mercy and kindness. So he says to the tempter, the scripture also says one should not put God to the test. At this point, the tempter knows it has lost the debate. So the tempter throws down its guise in frustration and reveals its true identity. Look out over all the land. I can give you the entire kingdom and all the riches and power in the world. Just worship me. Now Jesus sees who this nomad really is and says, be gone, tempter. Temptation will always come in clever disguises and try to deceive us. But no matter how clever it may be, it is only powered when we believe it. The tempter is trying to trick Jesus into believing that he has to prove himself. But Jesus knows that's not true, because Jesus knows he has nothing to prove, because there's nothing missing. Jesus stays grounded in his identity that he's a beloved child of God, and he is made complete. And anything that would try to convince him otherwise is false. We all have these thoughts. They play in our minds over and over throughout the day. These negative thoughts that try to convince us that something is missing. Like when Adam and Eve thought they weren't enough and needed to eat the apple for more wisdom. And even though we know they aren't true, somehow they keep getting power from us. Tara Brach, a spiritual teacher that blends Eastern and Western thought, calls this our top 10. You could probably write yours down pretty easily right now. I am stupid. I am ugly. I can't do it. I'm not enough. Tara Brach teaches that one of her biggest realizations in life has been that you don't have to believe your thoughts, because you are not your thoughts. You're so much more than that. God has made us all complete and full of love, and there's nothing you, me, or anyone can do that would take that away from you. You are perfect in the eyes of God. Let yourself feel that love. So for Lent this year, how about we do this? Let's give up one of our top 10. Let's pick out one of those negative thoughts. I am boring. I am unsuccessful. No one would like me for who I really am. Whatever it is for you. And for the next 40 days, when the tempter comes to knock on your door and tries to trick you into believing you're not enough, you tell it, sorry, this is God's house.